Some of you might remember Muhammad Ali, heavyweight boxing champion as I was growing up. I think he became the heavyweight champion before I was born. He fought Sonny Liston to win the championship, and he kept it for many years. And he became famous for this saying, "I am the greatest." You remember it? "I am the greatest." That's how he built himself up. That's how he promoted himself. That's what brought people to watch his fights, whether to see him prove it or to see him fall flat on his face. "I am the greatest." And although that is now coming up for 60 years ago, still, sportsmen and sportswomen and people in many different walks of life still want to be known as the GOAT, don't they? The greatest of all time. Not just great, but the greatest. Is it ever right for a Christian to boast like that? In what circumstances might a Christian say, "I am the greatest"? What is the best boast for the Christian? Paul's going to guide us and teach us about boasting here. We've covered this subject from another angle before, but there's more here. And Paul's doing this because he was facing a situation in the Corinthian church where false teachers had come in and they were pulling away the hearts of the Corinthians by saying that they were the greatest, far greater than Paul, and boasting. And the Corinthians were being taken in by these boasts and being carried away by these teachers into false teachings and practices. Paul's extremely upset about this, and so comes alongside the Corinthians, and he shows them what is a bad boast and what is the best boast. And that's what we want to see in these verses here this evening, a bad boast and the best boast. He says, first of all, "I am the greatest" is a bad boast. "I am the greatest." For a Christian, that is a bad boast. And he tells us this in two ways. First of all, he says, boasting is foolish. Boasting is foolish. If you do a search for boasting in 2 Corinthians, you'll find it occurs multiple times. In fact, in this chapter itself, six times Paul says, boasting is foolish. Look, for example, in verse 1. "I wish you would bear with me in a little foolishness." And as we'll see, the foolishness he's talking about is the foolishness of boasting. And then in verse 16, which we read together this evening, "I repeat, let no one think me foolish, but even if you do, accept me as a fool so that I too may boast a little." So again, he's saying, I know it's going to look foolish, and it's going to make me look like a fool, but I'm going to boast a little. Verse 17, "What I'm saying with this boastful confidence, I say not as the Lord would, but as a fool." Verse 19, "For you gladly bear with fools, being wise yourselves." And he's speaking of their foolishness and boasting. Verse 21, "But whatever anyone else dares to boast of, I am speaking as a fool, I also dare to boast of that." So six times he says, boasting is foolish, boasting is foolish, boasting is foolish. And he's saying that because there were, you might say, Muhammad Ali's in Corinth, spiritual Muhammad Ali's, who were saying, "I am the greatest," who were boasting of their spiritual attainments, their spiritual knowledge, their spiritual accomplishments. And Paul's coming alongside and he's saying, this kind of boasting is so foolish. Why is it so foolish? Well, he tells us in verse 19, it's because it is boasting according to the flesh. This is the kind of boasting, he says, is foolish. Boasting according to the flesh. He says it also in verse 18. What does that mean? It means boasting that comes from his sinful nature, or a sinful nature. It's boasting that is sometimes a lie, sometimes an exaggeration, sometimes true, but spoken to boost the boaster rather than to help those he's boasting to or give glory to God. That, he says, that kind of boasting, that boasting according to the flesh, that's my target, and I say it's foolish. And this was a boastful age. Just shortly before Paul wrote this letter, Caesar Augustus composed his funeral oration, and he had it inscribed on multiple monuments, statues, public buildings throughout the Roman Empire. And there were 35 paragraphs to his self-authored funeral oration. And it was 35 paragraphs on why I love me. Why I love me. Some of us couldn't write a line of that, but this man writes 35 paragraphs. Why I love me. This is the kind of boasting that is foolish. And then we get a bit of whiplash, because after time after time after time saying boasting is foolish, Paul says, I'm now going to boast in a foolish way. How come? Look at verse 18. He says, since many boast according to the flesh, I too will boast. Verse 17. What I am saying with this boastful confidence, I say not as the Lord would, but as a fool. Is this sinful? Well, he's saying it's not what Jesus would have done. So, is Paul sinning here? No. Because his boasting that he's about to engage in is not the kind of boasting that is according to the flesh, that comes from sinful nature, that is for personal glory, that is not for the benefit of people around him. It's truthful. It's for the good of the Corinthians. And it's for the glory of God. He's saying this kind of boasting, it's foolish, but I'll do it if it helps recover you to the faith. If you're impressed with this kind of boasting, if this kind of boasting is what takes you away, then I'm going to boast to bring you back. I'm going to boast if it means it will do you good. And really, that's what he's doing in verses 9 through 20. You look, for example, also at verse 22. Are they Hebrews? So am I. Are they Israelites? So am I. Are they offspring of Abraham? So am I. Are they servants of Christ? I'm a better one. And then a little aside, I'm talking like a madman. But he keeps talking. Let me try and illustrate this to explain what he's doing. Zach was a young man at school, and as he was growing up, he was very content with his parents looking after him and all their provision for him, all the vacations they went on. But as he went to high school, he started running into people who seemed to have far more than he did. And there was one of his friends, Joe was his name, and he always had the latest gear, the latest clothes, the latest sneakers, the latest video games, technology, phones, went on exotic vacations. And eventually, Zach said to his dad one day, Dad, I wish Joe's dad was my dad. And Zach's dad hung his head because he knew why. I said, okay, son, come with me. So he took Zach over to the computer, typed in a few passwords, and brought up his investment accounts, his stocks and shares. And it revealed that his dad was a multi-millionaire. But he'd always lived well below his means. And he's basically saying to his son, Zach, I don't want to do this. I don't want to boast. I don't want to show you what I'm worth. But if it means I'm going to lose your heart if I don't, then I'm going to do this. I'm just going to show you. It's not coming from sin. It's not for my glory. It's for your good. And I give glory to God for all that he's done for me. It's all his gift. This is the kind of boasting Paul is doing. It's to recover the Corinthians' hearts. He hates doing it. He detests it. You can feel him almost vomiting as he does it. There's nothing more sickening to him than this big-headedness that it might appear to be. And that's why he keeps saying, I can't believe I'm doing this. I'm talking like a madman, verse 23. So, I am the greatest is a bad boast. How do we know if what we're saying is a bad boast? Well, number one, it's a lie. A lot of boasts are exaggerations of reality or just not based on reality at all. Number two, is it for self-glory? Number three, is it for the good of those I am boasting to? And ultimately, does it bring glory to God? If our answer to these questions is no, it's not truthful, yes, it is from a sinful heart, no, it is not for the good of my hearers, and no, it's not for the glory of God, then that is a bad, a wicked boast. Indeed, if we were to sum up this section, it would be this: when we say, I'm the greatest, God says, you're the worst. If I say, I'm the greatest, God says, you're the worst. So what's a good boast? If that's a bad boast, what's a good boast? Well, it's this, isn't it? I am the weakest. I am the weakest. That's what Paul says. If I must boast, verse 30, I will boast of the things that show my weakness. If I have a choice, here I don't have a choice because you're leaving the faith. You're going to hell. And so I'm even going to make myself sick by boasting of the things that seem to impress you in order somehow to bring you back to the truth and get a chance to win you for Jesus. But if I had a choice, the kinds of things I would boast of are not my strengths and my accomplishments, but my weaknesses. If I must boast, I will boast of the things that show my weakness. So Paul's saying, I'm the weakest. I'm the weakest. Look at verse 29. Who is weak? And I am not weak. He's saying, yeah, there's lots of weak people in the world, but you know this? I'm the weakest of them all. I'm going to boast of these weaknesses. His opponents must have expected Paul to come forward and say, you know, I've planted all these churches, I've written all these letters, I've saved all these souls, I know all the best people in the church, I've got this big reputation. That's what they expected. But instead, Paul boasts of his weaknesses, the very things that disqualified him in the eyes of these super apostles. Look, for example, here in verse 23. He says, I was weakened by constant hard work. Serving Christ, I've done that more than anyone. Far greater labors, far more imprisonments, with countless beatings and often near death. 5 times I received at the hands of the Jews the 40 lashes less one. 3 times I was beaten with rods. 1 I was stoned. 3 times I was shipwrecked. A night and a day I was adrift at sea, on frequent journeys, in danger from rivers, danger from robbers, danger from my own people, danger from Gentiles, danger in the city, danger in the wilderness, danger in sea, danger from false brothers, in toil and hardship, through many a sleepless night, in hunger and thirst, often without food, and cold and exposure, and apart from other things, there's the daily pressure on me of my anxiety for all the churches. Who's weak and I'm not weak? What a CV. What that resume came across your desk. I don't think you'd be asking him in for an interview, would you? Here's someone who's been greatly weakened by constant hard work, by multiple punishments, dangerous travels, dangerous people, painful poverty, mental stress, and all the feelings of empathy he's got for all the Christians and the people that he's to care for. Weakness. I'll talk to you about weakness. There's no one weaker. And it's really, it's almost like a parody of Caesar's, "Here's why I love me." It's the opposite of that, isn't it? If Caesar comes along and boasts of why he should be loved, I'm going to boast of the things that really make me look pretty contemptible and a bit of a failure, a bit of a disaster area. If you knew someone like this, would you employ them? I am the weakest. But, he goes on, I have divine strength. I have divine strength. That's why, as soon as he says, if I must boast, verse 30, I'll boast of the things that show my weakness, he says, the God and Father of the Lord Jesus, he who is blessed forever, knows I'm not lying. He appeals here to God, the God of truth, who knows he's not lying about the things that happened, the things that weakened him, and the weakness that resulted from it. God knows the facts of Paul's life, and God knows the feeling of Paul depending on him entirely and completely. So it's not just God knows the facts of Paul's weaknesses, he knows the feeling of this weak man coming to him and leaning on him for everything. That's why he says, the God and Father of the Lord Jesus, who's blessed forever, he's the almighty, ever-blessed God, knows I am not lying. And then he gives an example of the kinds of weakness he was in, and yet how God came in and delivered him, even through him escaping as like a fugitive from Damascus. So, he's saying, my weakness was obvious, but so was God's strength. In my weakness, God's strength was manifested time and time and time again. He's saying, find your weakness to find God's strength. You know, there are these books and courses out there called Strengths Finders. Paul really says this, you know, weakness finders, that's what we're about in the gospel arena. That maybe career-wise, vocationally, strengths finders can be helpful, but when we're talking about salvation, sanctification, and service, when we're looking at the spiritual realm, just like put that strengths finder thing away and get a weakness finder. And that's far harder to do because that does not come naturally to most of us, if maybe any of us. But unless we find our weakness, we will not find God's strength. He brings us into these times and experiences of weakness in order to help us find God's strength, which is, oh, so much better than getting through something in our own strength. Good for, far better for us than going through something in our own strength. What's the best boast for a Christian? Boast about your weakness to show God's strength. That's what the theme of this whole epistle is. He looks at this theme from so many different angles. It's another one, and he comes in and he says, look, just boast about how weak you are to show God's strength. Imagine if there was a social media app like that. Quite different to Instagram and Twitter and Facebook, eh? I often see these pictures of people on Instagram and Facebook with their steelhead and their salmon. They're always bigger than mine. And they always catch. And I thought one day, well, I don't post empty hands. So neither do they. But that's what a social media app, according to 2 Corinthians 11, would look like. It would look like, here's my empty hands. Here's my empty mind. Here's my empty heart. Here's my weakness. Well, we don't need a social media app like for that because we've got the church. That's what the church is for. The church is a place, a community, a safe place where we can come and be weak, admit our weakness in order to find the strength of God directly through worship and through the word, but also indirectly through his people, through discipleship, through community, through small groups, through Bible studies, through friendships. The heart of the gospel is, stop trying to be strong and just admit your weakness. God's not impressed. He's not interested, actually, in our boasting. There's nowhere in the Bible where it says his ear is open to our boasts. But multiple places in the Bible it says his ear is open to our cry. Our cry. Or scream. This is a heart of the gospel. So give up. Give up trying. Give up your own strength. Come and admit your empty hands, your empty heart, your empty soul. Come and say, I am the weakest, Lord. And you will find gospel strength surging into your life. We read of the gospel. Christ was crucified in weakness, raised in power. The very central symbol of our faith is a vivid demonstration of this very chapter. That weakness is the place of salvation. Weakness is the place God works. People look at the cross and they say foolishness and weakness. We look at the cross and we say the wisdom and the power of God. We get more strength from a crucified Christ than we ever would of a Christ who never suffered, who never bled, and who never died. A Christ who just sits on a golden throne gives us no hope and no power. But a Christ who is stretched on a cross, dying in weakness, there is our power. There is our hope as sin is washed away. And so, as his disciples, we disciple others in weakness and therefore attract the weak. If our lives are a testimony to how strong and capable and successful we are, we're not going to attract people to disciple. It will put them off. Weakness is the biggest attractor. So let's embrace weakness and thereby embrace the weak. As we embrace our own weakness, we will have more of the weak to embrace. Let's praise the God who is not the God of the goat, but the God of the woat. Not the God of the greatest of all time, but the weakest of all time, because he himself has known what it is to be the weakest of all time. And so when weakness comes into our lives, it's not something to be ashamed of and despairing of. It's an opportunity. It's an opening. It's a contact point. It's like an open door to grace and to the gospel. God may bring you into physical weakness, and he'll say to you, I've brought sickness into your life. I've brought cancer. I've brought old age. I've brought disease. I've brought special needs. And I'm doing it to weaken you in order that you look to me for strength. You're suffering from depression, anxiety, PTSD, you're a victim of abuse, you felt what it is to be absolutely weak and helpless, wondering how you can take another step, live another day. There God is, dwelling with the lowly and the contrite in heart. You end up in trouble with the law. You end up in the court system, maybe eventually behind bars. And there God comes when there's nothing left and says, I dwell with the lowly. You fail. You have a business failure. You have a career failure. You have a relationship failure, a marriage failure, a parenting failure. And you think life is pointless, it's over, it's a disaster area. It's the very place God says, I'm there. I'm so accessible there. I'm so near there. He cannot be nearer. Maybe sin has weakened you. You've fallen morally again and again and again. The sin you said would never happen again, there you've done it again. Oh! There. Not when you're winning, succeeding, living success, but there, in that moment, in these times of moral failure, there. God says, boast of your weakness, and I'm running towards you. Praise the God of the woats, not the goats. The night is dark, but I am not forsaken. For by my side the Savior, he will stay. I labor on in weakness and rejoicing. For in my need, his power is displayed. Then we can thank God for our weakness. Because there, in that moment of fracture and disaster and failure and fallenness and brokenness and confusion, there God says, I am and I will always be. Let's pray. Almighty God, show us our weakness so that we can find and boast in your strength. Amen.